The following program brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities. The opinions expressed by the members of CFCI and their guests should not be construed as specific investment, legal, or tax advice. All economic and performance information is historical and not indicative of future results. Investing may involve the risk of loss of principal, and any tax advice on the show is not intended to be used by any persons for the purpose of avoiding U.S. federal or state tax. Penalties that may be imposed on such persons and each listener should seek advice from their tax advisor or legal counsel on topics that arise from the show. The representatives of CFCI and their guests are not providing legal or tax advice, and nothing should be construed as a solicitation to offer or buy securities. Now enjoy the show. Enjoy the show. Hey, everyone, it's David Hayes. Actually, I'm in the studio on an early Thursday morning. I'm getting ready to head up to the UP to smallmouth fish. So I'm going to record the show this morning, and you'll enjoy it in the evening. And then again on Saturday morning at 9 o'clock, always on WGCLradio.com and also on iTunes and Google Play. Let's do a little news of the week brought to you by Kenny Bland Auctions. They're your full-service auction service. I texted Dirk last night because I had this hat. I said, is this worth anything? I'm cleaning my hats out. If you're like me, you collect stuff, right? And I have so many hats. I know, Rob, you probably have a crap load of hats, right? Yeah, he's wearing his Giants hat this morning. And it's hats I haven't worn forever. I remember buying a Texas Tech hat whenever Bob Knight went to coach at Texas Tech. Someone gave me, as a gift to MC an event, an Ohio State national championship hat. All these went into the trash last night. But before I did that, I called Dirk and said, are these worth anything? Of course, he told me they were not, so they went into my trash bin. All right. Also, Like Law Group, give yourself and your family the peace of mind that comes with proper estate planning. Call Lance at the Like Law Group, 812-323-8300. And do what I did. Give Steve Roofing a call. If you need a roof, Google them at Steve's Roofing, and you'll find them. I have a Steve Roofing yard sign in my yard, and I took a golf cart ride last night around my neighborhood, and there were a lot of roofs going on. And I was like, okay, I mean, Steve's Roofing is right in your face when you come in my neighborhood. Why are you not calling Steve's Roofing? Because I saw other roofing companies' signs out in the yard. But do what I do. They did a great job. They came in, knocked it out. Man, cleaned it up. It's fantastic. So if you need a new roof, give them a call. All right, let's do a little by the numbers here. This is incredible, and Rod's going to come on in just a few minutes. But the S&P lost 30.43% for the first 56 trading days in 2020. Now, the next 81 trading days, it gained 45.01%, meaning that the S&P is up just under 1% for the year. That is incredible. And that's the math of recovery. We talked about that. If you go down 50%, you need 100% to get back to even. That's the math of recovery. Last month, last year, wow, the U.S. government suffered an $864 billion budget deficit during June of 2020. Just in the month of June, it's going to get worse, folks. We'll talk about that later. Oh, my goodness. The U.S. government had $984 billion deficit for the entire 2019 fiscal year. And it is going to get even worse before it gets better. The average retired couple spends 23% less money in their sixth year of retirement compared to what they spent in the first year of retirement. This comes from the Health and Retirement Survey. This is exactly what I've been telling folks for 20 years. That is, we have our go-go years. We're going to get after it, man. We're retired. Then we're going to have our slow-go years. We're going to slow down a little bit. And then you have your yes-no-go years, where all you're doing is getting the senior coffee from McDonald's and maybe that dollar menu item that you've been craving. At what point can you get a senior coffee? I turned 50 this year. Am I a senior? I hope not. I'm not even going to go down that route. I threw my AARP card in the trash when it came my way. This is kind of an interesting thing. And I found this to be a problem even with some of the real estate that we own. It says, you can't touch me. As of the beginning of July, an estimated 25% of the 5.4 million renters in New York City have not made a monthly rental payment since March. That's because back in March, a federal moratorium prevented any New York landlord from evicting delinquent tenants or charging them late fees. We had people here locally that were, you know, harm. And we, I mean, I own some real estate in town with some other people, and we had renters. So we would reach out to them, like, how you doing? You having trouble? Most of them all pay the rent just fine, but a few of them needed a little bit of some breathing room. So we gave it to them. You know, how much do you need? 3 months, 5 months? You know, we gave them that. And then you turn around and go to your lender and say, hey, my renter isn't paying. Can I have interest only? Can you suspend payments for a while? The answer is yes, because early on we talked about we're all in this together, and you know, I was talking about that I was so tired of hearing it that it about made me throw up. But eventually you have to say, yeah, we really are all in this together, and you know, you help me, I help you, and we'll get through it together. All right, and here's the other thing. I just saw this in today's Wall Street Journal, that the U.S. strikes a $2 billion deal for a virus vaccine. The U.S. has agreed to pay Pfizer and biotech SE nearly $2 billion to secure 100 million doses of their experimental COVID-19 vaccine to provide Americans free of charge. That's pretty cool. But here's the thing. We just need one. There's 197 vaccines for the COVID panic currently in the development stage. None which have received FDA approval yet. But hopefully that'll happen. And once I come back from Michigan, I'll be back on Sunday afternoon. You know, the world could change on a dime, and it has been. Here's the here's one other thing I wanted to talk about before we get to Hot Rod. My poolside survey. What does that mean? So every weekend, me and my friends and our families get together for a little cookout. It's been tradition. We've been doing it for years. Sunday afternoon after church, we all get together at the quarry, which is my friend's pool. We go to my house sometimes too, but mainly to his house. And we'll do fish fries and different things like that. So, you know, everyone's always asking me questions about different things, which is fine because I'm completely on all the time. You never have to say, I don't want to bug you with this. No, absolutely bug me with this. I love being bugged about stuff like this. So they say, you know, what do you think about if a vaccine comes? Is that going to drive the markets higher? It will give it a big bump. But here's my poolside survey. Of the 13 people that were there, hey, if today a vaccine came out and they approved it, the FDA said, yes, it's good, let's go, would you take it? 13 people were there. 2 said yes. 3 said maybe. And the rest of them said, yeah, I don't know. So I don't think that, like most vaccines, that everyone will take it. Do you get the flu shot? If you're listening to this show, you might be in the demographic that probably should get the flu shot every year. I think my doctor friends tell me if you're over 50, you should definitely get the flu shot. But I have never had a flu shot. I just turned 50. I'll probably get one coming this year because I've been pressured into it. And I have a lot of people that say I need to continue to be well and productive and around. So I'll probably get the flu shot. But I've never had a flu shot. And my sister works for Baxter, who produces flu shots or flu vaccines. And she says half of Americans do not get the flu shot. So I thought it was interesting to do a little poolside survey of everyday, ordinary people to say, would you get the vaccine? They're like, I don't know. The other thing is I did talk to some people from the restaurant business here in town. I'm just trying to reach out and understand and help. And I said, if there was one thing that we could lift to help make your business better, because they're on the ropes. I mean, they are on the ropes. Everyone around the downtown, they're on the ropes. They said, if you could stop the fear. And I said, so how do you do that? Here's how you do it. I was talking to Jen, who's the president of the BEDC this week as well. And she said, reach out to your patrons. Reach out to your regulars and say, hey, we haven't seen you for a while. Just like they used to do when you were a kid. And if you hadn't been to church for a while, who would call you? The preacher would call you. Or one of the elders would call you and say, hey, we haven't seen you at church for a while. Something going on? Well, you'd show up at church the next week because you felt like, all right, I'll come to church. Well, the restaurant people, you could do the same thing. Reach out and say, hey, man, it's fine. It's safe. It's clean. Come on in and see us. I bet I would come in if you reached out to me. I come into the restaurant. I feel like, hey, this is pretty cool. I'm gonna enjoy myself. I'm going to have a nice steak. I'm going to have a glass of wine, whatever. And then I may come back again next Friday or even next Tuesday. You never know. But that's the number one thing we have to stop is the fear. And I don't know how to stop it because, as one famous president once said, there's nothing to fear but fear itself. And then also, you know, misinformation. I get a call on Tuesday night from someone, and they said, hey, I was just on a call, and the local health department said that all of the ICU beds are filled up here in Bloomington. Can you find out that's true? Sure. So I give a call to my connection there at IU Health, and he said, well, as of yesterday at 3 o'clock, no, we had about half of them full, but we started doing heart surgeries again, and most of them all rehab in the ICU for a day. So it could be possible that it's full. In fact, many times we get full, especially during flu season. I wouldn't freak out. We have 32 beds, and we can expand to 96 if we need to. I'll check it out tomorrow. So he calls me yesterday. I was actually at the license branch in Ellisville about 10 to 5. I just had called into glass in the afternoon. And I'm like, hey, Jeff, I've got to go, but do you know the answer? He said, yes, I just walked the floor, and they are not full, not even close to being full. Whoever's telling this stuff is lying and should be fired. And I'm like, well, I only heard it secondhand, and I've told you guys from the beginning, do not repeat, do not, you know, spread secondhand information. I mean, if Rob was sick and he told me he was sick and I told you he was sick, then you should believe me. But if Rob told me his neighbor's dog was sick and then that caused the neighbor to get sick and he told me that, I'm not spreading that information. So some of the information out there is keeping people scared to death, just like it did it early on during this process. So just keep the fear down. It's going to be okay. You know, just wash your hands, you know, wear your mask when you're around people, when you can't keep 6 feet away or whatever. And, you know, let's get through this. And it sounds like that if there is a vaccine, it's probably not going to happen until, you know, early next year. So that's what baffles me about the market somewhat, is that how is the market so resilient through all of this? And that's what we're going to talk to Rod when we come back. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. It's Your Money with David Hayes. Thank you so much for being with us. We enjoy the heck out of being here. We hope you enjoy listening as well, because we want to keep things fun and light and enthusiastic. We don't want to be gloom and doom. We never are. Glass half full, that's not even describing it. My glass boils over. And joining me now on the phone is our equity expert, which is Rod Holloway down at CFCI. You hear him on Mondays and Fridays on Glass in the Afternoon. Rod, how you doing this morning? I know we're recording this because I'm heading off for a fishing trip this afternoon.
Yeah, hey, I'm doing all right this morning. Obviously, so far, it's been a very solid week within the market. A little bit of weakness this morning, but nothing major considering the run that we have had from that March 23rd low that was started off of this pandemic that we are still battling.
It's incredible, you know, and that's what you and I talk about, and you calm me down. Thank you. Just like my wife calms me down at home on other issues. You're always, just settle down. You're going to be fine. I get worked up over things. But, yeah, I mean, you look at this run. I mean, the S&P was down over 30% in the first 56 trading days, and then the next 81, we're up 45%, and probably more, and even more now. This was as of the end of let's see, July 17th, I think is my number. Yeah, it's been incredible. I mean, but here's the thing. Low interest rates, low inflation, forward-looking assumptions of a shorter-lived recession than what I think. I personally think we're going to be in this for a little bit longer just because of what's happening. A lot of the shutdowns are happening around, you know, even here in Indiana. We have the state-mandated mask order, which I think, personally, is a little bit of a pressure sign from the East Coast, where the East Coast governors and mayors are saying, hey, if you're from these states, we're going to put a 14-day quarantine on you before you can come in. I mean, so I think it's just everyone's sort of complying to appease each other, and maybe not. I don't know. I'm not any expert in this area. But, you know, we talked about this last week. You weren't on, Rod, but the old movie, A Weekend at Bernie's, where they propped up Bernie and a few guys carried him around, and it made everything seem pretty normal. There's a select sectors that are really pulling this market, and that's changed a little bit in the last week, where we've seen some other things pick up. Real earnings growth in areas where the virus has benefited it, which I hate to say the virus has benefited anything, but unfortunately, or fortunately for investors, it has. But stocks have found a way to make it higher. And then here we are, earnings season started, and the banks are saying, hey, you know, yeah, you know, it's not that bad. So there's just a lot of interesting stuff out there to follow, and that's thankfully why we have you and Eric and others keeping their eye on the ball all the time, while I can go out and go fishing this afternoon.
Yeah, and I think the key to what you're saying, David, is that it isn't created equal any longer. And that's where potentially, if you are purely an indexed investor, you may not reap the rewards of what's fully going on here. Now, that doesn't mean that you haven't had a recovery and doing well. Through yesterday's close, the S&P 500 is positive year-to-date, 1.4%. So you are still up. But if you look at the NASDAQ, it's positive 19% year-to-date. The reason for that is because technology-driven companies are experiencing a whole different sales, you know, phenomenon, right, let's call it, I guess, right now during this. So it isn't all created equal. Not all companies are doing well. You know, I talked about this with Glass on Friday, and I rattled off a breakdown of the retail sales numbers and the areas that were up double digits and some positive plus 20%. But then the flip side to it was you had other certain sectors within retail that were negative 40 and 50%. And I don't think it's a tough guess for anybody to figure out what those different sectors were that are performing extremely poorly versus the ones that are performing extremely well. To that point of technology, Microsoft just released earnings last night, solid earnings. They beat on the top and the bottom line. Now Microsoft sold off after hours. It's opening up a little bit down today. Not a huge surprise because of the run it has been on. So even though it beat, but this is what is astounding to me. In a quarter of a pandemic and a complete economic shutdown, $38 billion in revenue for one quarter for Microsoft. I mean, that's a 13% increase over the same quarter a year ago. So, yeah, things are not created equal right now within the market, and that's why I say in the index, you own the good, the average,
and the ugly,
bad.
And the ugly.
And that's where, yes, and I'm not bashing indexes. You know, you've talked about it. I've mentioned it before. We do believe in a core satellite approach, having some exposure to the indexes, so regardless of what the market is doing, you are participating in the market at that level. But that satellite component is where you are attempting to get your outperformance or on the down years, minimize the downside to your portfolio off of that. And that's what I think is really going to set portfolios apart in this year, because it is going to be a tough year to have extreme outsized gains like we have seen with certain mutual funds,
right,
or individual stocks in comparison to indexes.
Well, and that's, we've said you can diversify yourself completely out of any return. And that's what we've said for years. You've got to concentrate your portfolios. You need to own quality. You need to be in the right space at the right time. But yeah, like you said, sometimes you get it wrong, and that's why you have to probably diversify at least some of your portfolio. I found this interesting, that the U.S. during the 18-month recession from the end of 07 through June of 09, that's a one-and-a-half-year period, not a one-month or three-month or five-month period that we're experiencing right now. The S&P actually was up 13.3%. And, of course, the U.S. is now in another recession, and the latest downturn again occurred, as Rod mentioned, at the end of February and went all the way down to March of 23rd of this year. And we appear to have hit the bottom at that point. And here we are today. So it's pretty darn amazing. Yeah, and I was mentioning, like I said, 56 trading days. It really wasn't even that long. That was from the first of the year through the end of March. I mean, it was really much, much less than that. And in the videos we put out, we talked about in past recessions, past market declines, we felt like it was death by a thousand pinpricks, and this time it was death by a gouging knife falling out of the air. So it was a much different experience. Rod, let's talk a bit here about forward-looking expectations. You know, not just in the next, you know, few months, but over the next few years. You know, I know yesterday we were talking about a five-year forecast, because when we talk about investments, I had a great opportunity yesterday to say, this is the gift of recovery. You know, normally recoveries like this might take 2.5 years. I mean, on average, that's how long they've taken. This one's taken, you know, a few months. So we've had this gift of recovery. If you just went through it and you're like, that was terrible, I should never go through that again. Or you're like, you know what, I might need this money fairly soon. I had a meeting yesterday with a gentleman who's going to retire at the end of the year. He wants to use his 401k to have a mortgage elimination plan once he retires. So we talked about, okay, it looks like we need about $180,000 of your 401k to do that. Let's put that in a nice, safe, secure place, because we know we're going to need it soon. But money we don't need for years down the road, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, that can be invested differently. Give us what you believe and what you're talking to your counselors and your advisors on. What do we see in the next 3, 4, or 5 years down the road?
Yeah, well, I think that's the key component, Dave, and really kind of where you're heading to is the fact that equities are long-term investments. So while the market moves in the short run for any number of reasons, whether it be technical, whether it be headline news, earnings reports, those types of things, the reality is where you make your money is by owning companies and quality companies with growing revenue and growing earnings for 5 years, for 10 years, for 15 years. So right now, the forward looking is a little bit foggy, because it's really hard to get a great gauge on what that earnings growth and revenue growth is broadly. Certain companies, certain sectors or subsectors and industries within those sectors, you have a little more clarity, because as we just talked about at the beginning of this, that they are doing better and not being negatively impacted or as negatively impacted from the pandemic. So right now, moving forward, yeah, hey, it looks pretty good. Part of those reasons, you already addressed it. Low interest rates, low inflation. Those are two good components for growth moving forward. We have worldwide liquidity being injected into every market around the world. That's the central banks. They're the ones which that's causing the low interest rates. We also have stimulus, such as what we have already had a stimulus package. Now we have discussions of another stimulus package. We had Europe talking about what they were going to do from a stimulus perspective. We know China here a few weeks back talked about what they needed to do and wanted to do to drive their equity market upwards. So you have all around the world forces that are trying to create growth opportunities. Now, the struggle with that from sometimes is many of those forces cannot create the demand needed to fulfill that.
Right.
But boy, if the demand comes, the playing field has been laid out for that growth to take off if the demand is there. That's where it gets murky. What kind of demand will we have, and how much longer do we have in the current environment from the pandemic perspective? Because it isn't going away anytime super soon. It is something we're going to have to deal with for a while, potentially even maybe for years, or maybe this becomes an annual thing. Hopefully we can find some form of treatment that will reduce the severity of the virus, but they don't know that once we have a vaccine, the virus just disappears and goes away and we never ever see it again.
Well, no, and the flu comes back every year, right? The same strand every year. We have the flu shots. They add a little dose of this, a little dose of that. So no, this is not going to go away. This is kind of like the old, rock soup story when you were a kid. We're going to make some soup. We're going to throw a rock in there. Now, who has some carrots? Who has some cabbage? Who has a little of this? That's the way the vaccines work. Rod, thanks as always, man. I got to move on, but have a great weekend. I'll see you Monday morning.
That sounds good, Dave. Have a great race to the show and enjoy your weekend.
All right, man. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, anything is possible, right? I'm going to talk about your Social Security statement. When we come back, this is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. It's Your Money with David Hayes. Yes, sir, ma'am, everything, anything is possible in this world. You know, there is no question, and I'm going to get into this in the next segment, that with as big a deficit as we've had already this year that compares to the entire year of last year, it looks like they're pushing for 1 to 3 more trillion of stimulus coming soon, that taxes are going to go up significantly. But the one area that I just want to focus on right now is Social Security. Now, when you get your Social Security statement, and by the way, if you're over 60, you're probably getting it in the mail. If you're under 60, you have to go to ssa.gov and look. But right on your Social Security statement, I'm looking at one right now whose estimated benefit of full retirement is $2,275 a month. That's a full retirement age. And I believe this person's full retirement age is 66. But instead of ripping to the second page to say, okay, oh, this is how much I'm going to get, read the first page. Social Security benefits are not intended to be your only source of income when you retire. And it says here on the Social Security statement, on average, Social Security will replace about 40% of your annual pre-retirement earnings. You'll need other savings, investments, pensions, or retirement accounts to live comfortably when you retire. Duh. And I'm not sure 40% is accurate, at least the people I see. More like maybe 30%, but it is a pretty significant piece of the person's retirement. But here's the important part I wanted to point out. Let me back up. So it was 15 years ago that Hurricane Katrina hit the New Orleans area. And New Orleans really hasn't fully recovered even since then. And you think to yourself, if you had 15 years to prepare for Hurricane Katrina, would the outcome in New Orleans have been different? Well, I would think so. I would have think they would have said, okay, let's reassure that dam or whatever it was, and let's make sure this and make sure that. It probably still would have maybe hurt a little bit, but they could have prepared much better. Well, Social Security is giving you a 15-year warning. They're saying in the year 2035, if nothing changes, then you will get about two-thirds of your benefit because that's all that the payroll system will support. And then if I said to you, okay, we have 15 years to prepare for this, and if you would, in this case, set aside $50,000 of your retirement account into a deferred income annuity today, in 15 years, it will guarantee and replace one-third of that Social Security benefit for the rest of your life, would you do it? Or would you just sit there and say, nah, I'm going to roll my dice? I don't know. I mean, I look at Social Security and I think, yeah, there's a lot of quick fixes. You could increase taxes, which I think will happen on payroll taxes. I think, I mean, that's right now they're talking about a payroll cut, tax cut, which will make the problem even worse by doing that. And that's what drives me crazy, that we get all of these instant gratifications through tax cuts and other things, spending, and we're just mortgaging the future. And at some point, someone has to pay the bill. If you look at the Social Security statement, it even says, based on current law, here's what you can expect to get. They're being as honest and upfront as they can about what you need to plan for. And what does that mean, based on current law? Does that mean that if I happen to have saved a bunch of money, that means that they will means test me and say, you don't really need all this money? Does Warren Buffett need his $3,000 a month Social Security benefit? Probably not. Does Bill Gates? Probably not. Will I need it? I hope not. You know, but I've also paid into it for a long time. And that's right now on your statement. It will say to you on the third page, it says, note, you know, it talks about this and that, but your total Social Security Medicare taxes you paid over time. So this person's case, he's paid $84,596,000. His employer paid about the same. So he's paid in well over $160,000 into Social Security. If he's going to receive $2,275 a month, let me get my old handy-dandy calculator out here, if I can figure out how to work it. If I take $163,000 and I divide into that the $275, let's see, I did that backwards, $275 divided by $163, yeah. So, I mean, you're basically talking about, you know, it's going to be several years, and then you'll be through all of your money. I was looking, actually, if you take it annually, that's going to be a better way to go because it took us 71 months divided by 12. Yeah, so, I mean, really, in about 7 years, you'll have gotten everything out that you put in. That's where the math starts to catch up. So if in 7 years you've gotten all of what you've put in out, then who's paying yours? I am, my son is, your son, your daughter, whoever. I mean, it's a pay-as-you-go system, and that's why the thing's going to go broke in the year 2035, so you have 15 years to prepare for that. So I'm just saying, if you haven't thought about Social Security, being that it's such a major part of your retirement income, when you get to retirement, you need to think about it. And maybe you need to allocate some money now to prepare for when that could or might happen. So most of the plans that we run for people, actually, I'm going to say the majority of the plans that we run for people, when you dig into it, if you pulled out Social Security, all of them fail. Every single one of them fail. Now, am I working with people that have hundreds of millions of dollars? No, I'm talking about ordinary blue-collar, I call them blue-collar millionaire people. When you add up their home, their 401k, their cars, their boat, whatever it might be, their land, yeah, they're worth, you know, $1 million plus. But if you pull Social Security out of that income mix, they completely blow up. So that's all I'm saying to you right now. If you're 50, 55, 60, it doesn't make any difference. Understand. Maybe you're even in retirement. Know that in 15 years, Social Security is telling us that if nothing changes, that it will go broke and only about two-thirds of what they promise you will be paid. So you have an opportunity. That's all I'm saying. Just like New Orleans could have had an opportunity if someone would have said, in 15 years, you're going to have a hurricane that will devastate your area, flood your town, you know, destroy people's lives. you have that much time to prepare, would you do something about it? I would, but that's just me. I'm kind of a planner, I guess. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I've got to talk about the more stimulus coming, and I got to keep hitting this horse, because whenever I talk to people every week, every day, that's the first thing they talk about. They said, hey, I've heard you say this. What can I do about it? So we're going to talk about it when I come back. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. It's Your Money with David Hayes. More stimulus is coming. You know, as I said in the early comments, if I can find it here, that last year, the U.S. government suffered an $864 billion budget deficit during June alone this year. That's almost exactly what our entire budget deficit for the 2019 fiscal year was. And we project that over the next 10 years, we would continue to run at least a $1 trillion deficit. And then all of a sudden, we go out and throw $2 or $3 trillion at the pandemic. And right now in Congress, they're arguing over another one. It's going to be at least one, probably somewhere between $2 and $3 trillion in extended unemployment benefits, money for this, that, and the other, things that probably don't even matter to getting us out of this thing. But, you know, a little compromise here and a little compromise there, and that's how things happen in Washington. But my point is that I believe that we will be $30 trillion in debt in the next two to two and a half years. Right now, we're about $25 trillion in debt. There is $24 trillion, $25 trillion sitting in 401ks and IRAs that have never been taxed. Only $860 billion in Roth IRAs that have already been taxed. So what I'm telling you right now is that we are in a situation where we know what your tax bill is. Your first $24,000 and some change, if you're married filing joint, is free money. That next $19,000 and change is at 10%. The next $50,000 and change is at 12%. Then the next, you know, whatever is at 22, then 24, 32, 35, 37, you name it. It doesn't matter where you are. Understand where you are. If you're in the 22% bracket, then why don't we do something with that 22%? What if you're in the 12%? Let's take advantage of that. That's like a gift card that expires every December. If you had a gift card to go to your favorite restaurant, and they said it's going to expire, you know, the end of next week, would you figure out a way to go to that restaurant and spend it? Well, sure you would. Otherwise, you're, you know, not very, you know, diligent with money, or you're not a very good steward of things, or give it to someone to use, right? Unfortunately, you can't give your tax rates away. So look at where you are. And if you have room and capacity, I did one this week with someone who was in the 22% bracket. They had $52,000 of remaining income they could take and pay tax at 22%. That's what we did. We did a Roth conversion in his plan, in his 401k, in plan Roth conversion. Then we turned around and said, okay, how are you going to pay the tax on this? I calculated how much he needed to tell his HR to increase his payroll taxes by to pay for the conversion. And then in January, he'll do it again. And he'll do it again, he'll do it again, he'll do it again, and he'll do it again all the way to the end of 2025 when the current tax rates expire. Now, what is the sense of urgency? And this is where you kind of get hung up on whether you should do more than what makes sense today. If we do have a change in the White House, if we do have a change in the Senate, will this current tax law go away? It could. It could. Most of the time, and what I've been told by Trey and Todd and, you know, our senator and congressman, that typically when a law is set to end anyway, like at the sunset provision, like the Bush tax cuts did, they don't mess with it. They just kind of, let's not fight over that. Let's just let it expire. We know it's going to go away. Let's let it go away. And then we're going to return to where we were before. Now, does 37% going to 39.6 scare me? No, not at all. But when I read constantly in the Wall Street Journal, from the Congressional Budget Office, I mean, you name it, when it says that tax rates need to double for us to just pay for what we've already done to ourselves, and that's for Medicaid and Medicare and Social Security and the current interest on the debt and future spending, I mask the math. But what I've been telling you, and I've been telling others, and I want to tell the story as often as I can to get it through to you, that there's only one tax that we can control. We can only control the tax on our 401ks and IRAs. I can't control payroll taxes. I can't control gas tax. I can't control, you know, sales tax. I can't control what the local government's going to do to my income tax. You know, raising income taxes locally is going to be proposed. I can't control any of that, but the only thing I can say is if I can move money now and pay taxes at a known rate and put money away at a known rate, I personally, and I'm telling you right now, I don't care who you are, how much money you make, if you're putting money away tax deferred, you need to stop right now and put money away into the Roth. Pay the tax now. You won't miss it. I mean, it's almost like people who, you know, say, well, I got a raise last year. Oh, you did? What'd you do with the extra money? I don't really know. Or I took a little bit of a pay cut. How did it affect your life? No, not really that much. Well, that's the same thing on paying taxes now. If I put money away tax-free, I pay the tax when I deposit it into my 401k or IRA. No big deal. It's after-tax money. Then it grows completely tax-free. And if you can earn 7.2%, your money will double every 10 years. So that 100 grows to 2, grows to 4, grows to 8, grows to $1.2 million over that period of time, all tax-free. Now, yes, you're doing it for yourself, but who you're really doing it for, if you're married, is for your spouse. Because remember, when you pass away, things happen that aren't good. One, you're going to lose a check. At least the Social Security check goes away. And two, everything I talked about from a married filing joint arrangement tax-wise gets cut in half, so your taxes essentially double. So at that point, my wife, Misty, is saying, okay, I still need about, you know, close to the same amount of money I needed when David was around, but all my money's now taxable, and it's double what it was when he was around. When I have a situation come in where a spouse has passed away, and this has happened 3 or 4 times this year, I'm like, okay, we have a major sense of urgency because you are going to file married filing joint this year as your final return. So we're going to get super aggressive and we're going to move a lot of money from taxable to tax-free at these married filing joint rates because next year you're a single taxpayer and we have to become less aggressive with these movements. So it is a planning process, you know, and it is what it is. But all I'm saying to you now is that more stimulus is coming, more debt is coming, and higher taxes are coming. Now, one last thing before I let you go from this segment. Under the CARES Act, it actually allows you to take a $100,000 withdrawal from your 401k account, even if you're under 59 and a half, without a penalty. And then you have 3 years to pay it back or pay the tax on it. So I've actually saw a few people recently who were worried about their unemployment benefits getting cut at the end of July, which I think they probably will, but not by that much. But these are fairly higher income earners who've been furloughed or let go, and they are thinking, okay, I might need some money. So that's sort of a safety valve or an outlet. Hopefully it's not a long-term thing, but it is a short-term fix if you need the money. So if you have any questions about that, email me at CFCI. Just go to CFCI.us. Under Contact Us, you'll get to us. It might take a day or two, but CFCI.us, that's our website. Contact us. We will be there to help. I'm going to take a quick break, come back, go to some questions of the week. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. It's Your Money with David Hayes. Questions of the week. If you have a question, we'd love to answer it. Go to CFCI.us, contact us, and we will do it. You know, and I did a little spot this week, and I wanted to say this. If you're being asked to take an early buyout from your employer, you're being told you're not hired back, you know, unfortunately, this self-induced economic coma we're in, we're not coming out of it as quickly as we'd hoped. And as a result, a lot of businesses are forced to adjust and adapt. I mean, we call it discontinuous change. And it happens. And now we have to deal with it. So we are here to help. I promise you that. CFCI.us. Give us a call. We'll have a conversation. And we have this planning system. We call it the goal planning and monitoring. It can help lay out your what-if scenarios and help you make a good educated decision on what to do next. So I don't want to use this show as a commercial. I never have, never will. But I am here to help. And again, if that's you, just email us, cfci.us. That's it. Under the contact button, put help in the subject line. How about that? I said that in the spot. Put help, and we will get in touch with you, have a 15, 20, 30-minute conversation, and you'll see where it goes from there. Questions of the week, real quick. IRA versus 401k, should I put my money in the Roth? Yes, I'm not going to even go down that road anymore. Backdoor Roth, even better now since you can make traditional IRA contributions after 70 and a half. Put money in the traditional. This is for people that don't qualify to put money into a Roth IRA. Put money into traditional. Anyone can do that. And then convert it immediately to a Roth. That's awesome for even people after age 70 and a half. You have to have earned income. Taxes due on any sale of my home profit up to, so this was a great question I had the other day. If you made less than $500,000 married, less than $250,000 single, you do not have to report any income on the sale of your home. What are you going to catch up in Lake Michigan? That's a great question. Smallmouth bass. That's my hope, at least. Can you do a 60-day rollover from a simple IRA distribution to a traditional? Yes, you can. Simple IRA, traditional IRA, SEP IRA, they all fall under the IRA umbrella. And I want to pay off my house with a 401k when I retire. Should I? This comes from earlier in the show. The answer is yes. I always promote that, but have a smart mortgage reduction plan. You know, don't trip yourself up and have unnecessary taxes on Social Security or maybe excess premiums on Medicare and all that. So those are some quick answers to questions of the week, only because I've run over a lot in the previous segments. So if you have a question of the week, please email us at cfci.us. Contact us. We will answer your question and maybe use it on the show. All right, we're going to come back, wrap up the big show before I head off to Lake Michigan. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. Your Money with David Hayes. Just a few minutes left in the show. You know, I'm always interested in the daily headlines in the Wall Street Journal, and this week was no different. More restaurants close as virus concerns keep diners away. You know, please reach out and go to your local establishments. You know, wear your mask, sit down, take it off, eat, enjoy dinner, and then, you know, leave. I mean, that's what we need to do because we got to help these people get through. And I know I shouldn't be promoting people by name, but, you know, I've been a long patron of Malibu Grill. I love the people there. And, you know, they're struggling. You know, you have staffing issues. You have how much food to buy issues. Are people going to even show up? You have students coming back. Parents are making reservations at Michael's Cafe. You know, you've got Grazzi's on the square. You have Nathan that owns the Tap and Social Cantina and all this downtown. You know, I don't want my downtown to go away. So the only way we can help them not go away is to support them in any way possible. In one way, and maybe the only way, unless we create a massive GoFundMe page or something, is to go eat there or take carryout from there. You know, Buffalo Louis has been a great local community contributor. So just step back and think, yeah, I can grill out tonight or I can do that. And we've done some of that right at home, but I have made a conscious and deliberate effort to try and support and reach out to these people locally, and I'm just hoping that you do too. So keep your head up. It's going to be a fantastic weekend, and I'm going to head to Lake Michigan with my dad and my good friend George, and we are going to tear it up there with some other people, and hopefully, you know, way up in the UP, things are turned as normal as possible. I sure hope they are. I'll report back next week. I hope everyone has a great one. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
The preceding program was brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities.